All right. Well, let's go ahead and pray, and then Carter, I'll let you introduce our missionaries. And we do, Father. We're just thankful. We love the energy that missions focus that week brings to the church, to this class. I pray for Brad right now for his protection and his guidance as he does continue to teach and build up pastors throughout the world. Just for his protection and his health and effectiveness, Lord, and for Ralph and Brian and that team. We just really pray that that would all come together. The funds would be there for them and the work would be bolstered at that camp because it's super important work in an area of need. Father, we are thankful that you bring the community of the Discovery class together, this part of the body of Christ, to do what every part does, and that is to get together and encourage, Lord, when we just talk to each other and we have our supper clubs and we just keep up with heartfelt needs. This is a class like any other, full of heartfelt needs, joys, pains. So Lord, on these Sunday mornings, I just thank you that you've set it up so we can come and get encouraged personally. We can share in all of that. We can see what's going on throughout the world to get our perspective again on your kingdom work and the big pictures of your love for us. You're giving Christ of an eternity that you've promised. All of those perspective changing things that occur on a Sunday morning. Thank you for that. Pray it would happen today. Thank you for our speakers, and pray you, your Holy Spirit would just be powerful in our class this morning. I pray that in Christ's name. Amen. Carter, then we all get through questions, if you'll close in prayer.
Good morning. Y'all, Tenwick Hospital is a missions hospital. It's a good sized mission hospital in Western Kenya. And yet it's definitely third world. And, Jenny and Ben Roberts, are basically products of Briarwood, who've been there, fact check, 22 years, 2018. Thank you. Years. And, in their house sits sort of at the epicenter of the whole hospital, compound and where the missionaries live. And that's appropriate because they are so much the center of what goes on there. Jenny is a, homemaker, three boys, and is the center focus of where the kids love to be. And you can just go by their yard and everybody's always playing. And she's the confidant. She's the person who gives wisdom and just brings the community together, as well as being a nurse and reaching out to the surrounding community. I'll tell us more about that. And Ben is an ophthalmologist, is ophthalmologist extraordinaire. And you hear other ophthalmologists who visit from the States talk about what he does and how well he does it, the breadth of what he does and how well he does it. They speak in awe. And, not for pride, not to blow up their, egos, but just the Lord has really used them tremendously. And they've got three, superstar stud boys. I hope they'll tell you about them too. My son Taylor, Cindy's and my son, spent 6 weeks with them a number of years ago and came home, wanting to be an ophthalmologist, saying that, that's the coolest job in the world. And I mean, you'll find out why after I talk, I'm sure. So we're so glad to have y'all with us.
Morning. Is this a church or a Sunday school class? Large class. We are so happy to be there. And Carter, thanks for your kind words. And as he mentioned, if you didn't mention it, I was going to mention his son, Taylor, came and spent about 6 weeks with us. I was thinking back, I think it was around 2012. And, we have three boys and they were young at the time and they just loved having him there. I mean, crawling all over him, trying to beat him up. And, he was such good sport. Yeah. Our boys are pranksters. And, so we're very grateful, that we got to have him there. So as he said, we are Ben and Jenny Roberts, and Briarwood's our home. Very thankful to call Briarwood our home. And we have lived and served at Tenwick Hospital since 2006. We're now transitioning back to the States. Have moved back this past summer in July, and we'll share more about that as we go along. But thankful to be here. So over the past 18 years, I've had to start using these as well. So, what's the theme for Briarwood's Missions Conference? Three words, our strong foundation, right? Our strong foundation. And I love that theme. The theme verse is 1 Corinthians 3:11. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So, what a great missions, emphasis. In light of that, I want to tell you a story that I think you're very familiar with, but, I want to share it with you right now. And it's some words that Jesus shared after the Sermon on the Mount. He had preaching or teaching for a long day, and at the end of that day, he shares these words. He says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man that built his house on the rock. The rains came down, the floods water rose, the wind blew and beat against that house, but it did not fall because its foundation was on the rock. Everyone then who hears these words of mine, but does not do them, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rains came down, the floodwaters rose, the wind blew against that house, and the house fell, and great was the fall of it. So those are the words of Jesus. And in light of this year's theme, I want you to think through that as we share some glimpses today. So put simply, a wise man, as we just heard from the words of Jesus, is one who hears his words and does them. And a foolish man is one who hears the same words, but chooses not to do them. As we reflect upon the past 18 years of living in Kenya, there's been things that we've done that at the time may have seemed foolish, but we've seen God's gracious hand and his sovereignty work in us, to teach us, and to help us as we've learned over the years. And we want to share a few glimpses of that today.
But first, I just want to say a thanksgiving to Briarwood. Briarwood has been a strong foundation to me. I went to Stanford University and was a nursing student there. And while there, I learned about campus outreach. And I know Wendy has been involved with that, and she was my BSF leader when I was here in town. But I'm just thankful for the opportunities that Briarwood taught me. And I remember coming to a missions conference when I was a college student, and I was just in awe of all the missionaries that were serving everywhere. And I actually met the McCullums. They came and spoke, and that was my first intro to Briarwood through them. And then later, through going on campus outreach projects, beach summer projects. And at those projects, I learned a strong foundation of what it is to walk with the Lord. Faith, prayer, evangelism, and just your daily quiet times with the Lord. And it was a strong foundation for me that prepared me and equipped me for 18 years of service in Kenya. Another strong foundation that Briarwood gave to me was early morning Bible study that Melody and I attended with Barbara Barker. And we were studying 1 Peter. And I remember, I get a little emotional talking about this, but I remember we were studying about suffering in the persecuted church. And the Lord really spoke to me during that time. I was pregnant and I had two other little ones, and we were about to move our family to the mission field. But she talked about God's word and what a strong foundation it was when you experience and watch suffering. And little did I know that we would be moving to an area that experienced a lot of suffering. And so we're just so grateful for all the ways Briarwood equipped us in college. And then we were involved in Christian medical ministry that helped us, and Earl Carpenter discipled Ben. And then we had Reverend Cheely as we're getting ready to launch and do this missions thing. He came to our church one morning at like 5:30 before Ben, to our house, before Ben had to go to his residency, and just talked to us and shared with us the opportunities and what that looks like to be a missionary, and gave us the courage to take the faith step to launch and move our family across the seas. So we moved our family We had a 3-month-old, a 2-year-old, and a 4-year-old, and our parents thought we had absolutely lost our mind. We often wondered, what are we doing? But it was a complete, God, we trust you, and we're going to walk with you. Little did we, I mean, we were going in long-term commitment, but we did not know it would be 18 years later, and we praised God for every opportunity. And our boys have thanked us for being able to grow up in the setting that they grew up in, and the things that they've been able to learn and see. And I want to say one other thing about foundation and thankfulness at Briarwood. When we were on the field in 2007, we experienced post-election violence. It was the scariest thing I had ever gone through, where mobs were rising up and they were burning people's houses. They were taking people out of the car. It was a very scary moment. And we had only been on the field about a year and a half. And we weren't sure we were going to be able to stay on the field because people were evacuating Kenya. The embassy told us, we want you to stay. You're medical professionals. We need your help. We'll get you out if things get really worse than they are. So for about 6 weeks, we were stranded at our hospital. We couldn't travel. And that was a hard moment, having little kids and not being able to have the freedom to just go to the grocery store. We even ran out of toilet paper on our campus. We had to fly toilet paper into us. So, but God was so good. He provided everything we needed. But Briarwood, during that time, we noticed the prayer support and the support we were getting financially, not just from Briarwood, but from our supporters was increasing. It was like God was saying, stay, I've got this, and there's a lot more to do. And we'd only been there a year and a half. And I just happened to be up at Annapolis with my boys recently, and John Wood was preaching there, and he was talking about faith promise at Briarwood. And he said, I want you to know, he was preaching on sacrifice. And he said, I want you to know that Pastor Harry Reeder, during about, I think it was 2007, 2008, which was the time we were going through post-election in Kenya, that Harry Reeder saw that faith promise wasn't coming in. And he said, I want this to be deducted from my salary, and I want our missionaries to be taken care of. Well, we were recipients of that sacrifice, and I got to meet the other day with his wife, Cindy, sorry, I just blanked out, with Cindy and share that story with her and how God's sovereignty is over everything and how he's working and how much that encouraged us to say, don't give up, persevere, stay the course. So thank you for that foundation you guys gave us. So I'm just going to point out here, this is Kenya, and there are several countries surrounding. We border Somalia. We're on the East Africa side of Africa, and we border Somalia, Ethiopia, and then Sudan, Uganda, and Tanzania to the south. Somalia is a very unreached people group that a lot of them are coming over into Kenya, as well as several Sudanese have come into Kenya. So there's a lot of refugees in northern Kenya and to the east side. Our hospital was Tenwick Hospital. It's on the western side of Kenya. And we were in a beautiful highlands area with tea fields on kind of right by the equator, just a lush, beautiful area. If you think of California weather, every day I would wake up, the weather was beautiful. It was so nice. So that just kind of gives you an overview of Kenya.
This is bird's eye view of our campus, if you will. The sun rising over the east, over the hills, and you can see the hospital down below. Tenwick Hospital began, the first missionary doctor was there in 1959, Dr. Ernie Sturey. It was a small college hospital, but it's grown over the decades to become a large referral hospital that is training many, many, many national staff in nursing and as physicians, as surgeons, and it provides comprehensive care now. We see upwards of about 150,000 patients in outpatient every year, and it's just become a very busy place medically. But thank the Lord, the gospel is still central there at the hospital. It's not just a place that provides humanitarian need, but it's a place that's providing training and discipleship for these nationals that are going forth into other parts of Kenya and East Africa.
So as I was saying, we arrived in 2006 with our three little kids in tow, excited about the opportunities God had for us. And I would love to sit down and have a Kenyan cup of a cup of chai with you. They love chai in Kenya. 10 o'clock is tea time, but they say all the time is tea time. And it's a very sweet, milky tea drink that they have, sometimes with cardamom spice on top. And I'd love to sit down and share more about everything that we experienced. We have a limited amount of time, so we're just going to share with you some glimpses of the foundation that God taught us while we were on the mission field and the opportunities and highlights we had while we were there over 18 years.
So not to oversimplify things, but since moving to Kenya in 2006, this has kind of been our family's mission statement, sharing the light, restoring vision. And our desire and all that we do is to share the light of Christ, whether it's medically or whether it's in teaching the word or discipleship or being a good neighbor, to share the light of Christ, and then professionally to help restore vision through the eye care there at Timothy Hospital. We get so excited when we see God work in many ways, and when we see him change lives. Sometimes that's a physical change. You know, as being in medicine, we do get to see physical changes, and it's a blessing to see God bring physical healing to people. But sometimes, and more importantly, is through the saving power of his word. And that's the beauty of working and sharing in this environment, is to not only seek to bring physical healing, but to bring physical, spiritual healing and discipleship to those that we work with. We all know the words of James reminds us that faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Now, this doesn't mean that works has any power to save. Our good works, you know, don't have any power to save us, but God uses you and me to share loving kindness in whatever profession we're in to others, that they might better understand the one who does have the saving power, and that's Jesus Christ himself. Well, physical blindness severely limits what a person can do, and especially in Africa. Oops, if I can get back here and get this to work here. That's right. Yeah. So you can see here, these are two that are blind. They've actually had surgery, but they look like this before surgery, and they're being led by, often by their child or grandchild or seeing spouse. And you just don't see that here in Birmingham. And we've been on some outreaches where we see just droves of people coming in with all the sticks. You see all these sticks, and the beautiful things to see them walk in with their sticks horizontal like this, but the day after surgery to see them walking away with their sticks vertical because they're walking on their own. And it's truly a blessing when we get to take part in that. Now, this picture is not from Tenwick Hospital. This is one of our outreaches. Tenwick has grown over the years and has pretty modern, for East Africa, fairly modern facilities where we are able to care for patients and do surgeries. But this is on one of our outreaches where we're in a very rural area in South Sudan, able to provide cataract surgeries for people that are blind, and able to do that in a way that that works for that environment. Okay, I'm going to show just we'll see if the audio works here, just a quick video. You know, when you do surgeries, specifically say cataract surgeries, there's an immediate, usually, improvement after such a surgery. And what we've noticed over the years, different cultures react differently. Jenny and I were just in another part of South Sudan, northern part, where there were a bunch of people from Sudan of Arab descent that had been pushed across the border that we were caring for. And when we removed their patches, there was not a lot of celebration. We just have to watch. You're wondering, can they see? You just have to kind of watch, and then you'd slowly see this smile kind of appear on their face. Yeah, counting and looking at their fingers, looking at their clothes, wondering who dressed them. But then there's the culture, and this is what I'll show the video. This is the Dinka culture, which are very animated and love to praise God when they, let's see if we can get this to work here. I don't know if the video, the sound's going to work, huh? Yeah, sound's not working, but, yeah.
We can kind of imagine.
You can imagine. You get,
so loud.
Yeah.
And vibrant and joyful.
That's right. So, yeah, they will grab whoever's next to you and dance with them. Jenny's, dance with many, men and women in that environment after your patch has been removed.
You have to watch your toes. They'll stomp on
your head. So, sorry, that's not going to work for us, but it is truly, it's truly a blessing to see, you see this dramatic change in someone physically. And you know, one day when we see the Lord Jesus ourself, we're going to, praise God, we're going to be doing the same thing because we're going to see him face to face. We're going to, you know, be in the place that he's called us to face to face. So for me, it's always a good reminder of what our eternity looks like. So Tenmac Hospital has a three-tiered mission. They would say they're established to provide compassionate health care, spiritual ministry, and thirdly, training for service. Compassionate health care, spiritual ministry, and training for service. The second one, spiritual care, we're thankful at Tenmac to have a robust chaplaincy department. So while medical care is ongoing, we have chaplains that come in and spend time with patients throughout the day and are sharing with patients, getting to know what village they're from and sharing the word of God with them. And that's truly a blessing, but we don't just put that off on chaplains. I'll say in our eye department, so blessed to work with some incredible national staff who just love Jesus. And one of my nurses, my in-charge nurse, her name is Leah, and she will just make sure that every day that we're sharing the truth with these patients. And we do that in various ways, whether it's through Bible story, kind of like I shared that story with you this morning, through asking questions of patients. But all these different ways that we try to bring God's word and to bring the spiritual care into that as well. Because we know that humanitarian care alone, you know, provides a physical change, but it's empty and it's not lasting unless there's that message of hope, which only comes through Jesus.
So for instance, Ben and I just returned from a trip to South Sudan, but we were on the border of Ethiopia and Sudan, and we cared for people from four different refugee camps that are coming from Sudan. I don't know if you all know the situation that's going on in Sudan, but it's quite tragic, the number of people that have died and that are displaced from their homes from the civil war going on in Sudan itself. Sudan and South Sudan used to be one country called Sudan. Now they've split, and now there's fighting in Sudan, and then the country in South Sudan is a bit still unstable. But I want to share with you the hope that we saw while on this trip. It was remarkable. We were serving in an area with 95% of them were Muslims, so we didn't go in with high expectations of many coming to faith. We just thought we would be planting seeds. Well, they were watching. And one morning we were having devotions, and there were two ladies that were watching us sing. And if you don't think the importance of singing draws people to Christ, this story will change your mind. These women were watching us sing an Arabic song, and then we sang, "Oh, When the Saints Go Marching In." I never envisioned that song would lead someone to Christ. And they were looking, and they said, "Why are these Christians so happy? What do they have that bring them so much joy?" And so the pastor then referred them to a female counselor, because they're not allowed to talk to men, and shared the gospel with these women and shared truth with them, and they prayed and received Christ. That we were not expecting that. This man wasn't an eye patient. He was just a diabetic patient in the hospital. He saw the care that was being extended to our blind patients, and he saw people go from blindness to being able to see, and it was quite a remarkable transformation. And he said, why are these Christians caring for our people? Why are they loving them so much? And again, the pastor, this time the male, shared with him, and he prayed to receive Christ. And recently he wrote a text to him and said, I'm following. Now he is Muslim and he doesn't understand the context that Jesus is the Savior. So he keeps calling him the great prophet because he's learning, he's growing. But he said one day he's going to know him as Jesus' Lord, not just the great prophet. Like he's going to come to understand that. But the biggest need with this is discipleship. These people, they leave and there's no churches in their area. There's no discipleship. There's no pastors, or the pastors that are there aren't well equipped or trained. And so that's our number one prayer after this outreach and going to this area, is that the Lord will provide the discipleship. We did give them an audio Bible in their language that's solar that they can listen to. So we're praying that they will hear the word of God. As Ben shared in the story, he who hears these words of mine and does them is like a wise man planted on the rock. And so we're praying that for these patients that came.
So compassionate healthcare, spiritual ministry, and the third leg of that is training for service. And that's one of the fun parts of what we get to do at 10 Week, is to help train others medically, but also disciple them as well. This is a picture of a young doctor named Catherine, and she is a retina specialist. She had done a small fellowship in Bangladesh. She's Kenyan. She'd done a small fellowship in Bangladesh and then came to our hospital wanting further mentorship. And this was in 2019. And so I had about a year to spend with her. She's a phenomenal surgeon, phenomenal clinician. And it was just a joy to work with her. She since has moved on from 10 Week and is in Nairobi Hospital, and in fact is one of the leading retina specialists in the country of Kenya, one of the very few. She's doing a phenomenal job, and she loves the Lord. So it's so exciting when we get to play a small role in the mentorship of others like that. I love this picture. This is one of our previous trips a few years ago into South Sudan with the help of Samaritans First. This is their DC-3 that flew us into this airstrip there. But this is a picture of generations of mentorship. So the gentleman on the left is Dr. Dan Graydon. When we first moved to Kenya in 2006, he was a missionary at another hospital, had been there about 7 or 8 years. But someone I could reach out to, I called almost on a weekly basis asking him, what do I do with this? How do I treat this patient? You know, it was all so new to me. I was fresh, young, out of training. And so he was a great mentor to me. A couple years later, and I'm number two in that picture. And a couple years later, this gentleman in the blue shirts is Dr. John Cropsey. He and a team came to 10 Week, spent 2 years there. He's an ophthalmologist. He was fresh out of training, and I had time to help mentor him. He didn't need much mentorship. He's incredible. But I had a chance to mentor him. Then the gentleman beside him is someone that John met and trained in Burundi, is an ophthalmologist. And then the last lady is Rebecca. She is from 10 Week Hospital, and I had the opportunity to spend some time with her, but she's currently with Dr. Cropsey in Rwanda. So it's a big story I'm telling you here, but the point I'm making is the generational mentorship from one person to the next, not just medically, but also spiritually as well. And it was such an amazing, this was an amazing trip to have all of us together, but it's such a joy when we get to take part in that.
So we also enjoyed this, not only the experience of outreaches and discipleship, going on outreaches, but also inward discipleship with our staff that was at Tim Week Hospital. And we would have morning devotions on Fridays and have more of an inductive Bible study time. We studied the book of John. We studied about walking with God through crisis, because we definitely had our fair shares of crisis where we lived, and scriptures and truths and promises to hold on to. We studied about peacemaking, and I don't know if you've ever seen that book, Peacemakers, but it's a great resource about conflict, because conflict is one of the major things you find in a mission setting. And so you have to biblically know how to navigate it and deal with it. And so it was a great time to invest in our staff. And this is a picture of us playing Jenga with them. We'd always do some kind of life lesson with them in addition to studying God's word and to make it alive. And so Jenga is to build. And so we were trying to build a strong foundation. And we've had many that have come back and said how much they have appreciated that foundation and that study time that they had. And praise God, we now have two other ophthalmologists that have come after us that are serving there. Well, three, because there's a Kenyan that's there as well, and a clinical officer. But they are carrying on with this morning, Friday morning discipleship dive time, and they're studying the book of Acts.
So this is the young Ben Roberts in 2006 when we first moved there. And I showed this picture. These were the 10 staff that I met when I first moved there. And the point I'm making is that a foundation had already been set. Mm-hmm. So there was a gentleman, a nurse, by the name of Sam Powell. His parents were missionaries in India. He grew up on the mission field. He was a nurse. He moved to Tinley after university and his nursing training, and had a passion for eye care. And he began a small eye clinic in the early 90s. He since had to leave and to take care of his parents. And then I moved in about 2 years after that. But these staff that he trained had a firm foundation. Not only spiritually, they each loved the Lord greatly, but medically, they were phenomenal. And they were a tremendous help to me as I was adjusting to the culture, adjusting to how to practice medicine in this environment. And it was a strong foundation that we could continue to build upon. So fast forward 18 years, when we left last summer, these were the almost 50 staff that are part of just the eye department. So you can see that God has really blessed the staff there and given us more ability, more people to care and to continue the training that's there in that environment.
So another strong foundation was teaching children. I love teaching children Sunday school, and then also being a part of a program called Bible Quizzing that was at our church called Bethesda Church that was actually met in the hospital. We would have patients come in and attend our church and everything, but they were very, the church was very supportive of our children's ministry. And that ministry started back in 1990 with another missionary named Debbie Renfro. And then after they left, we actually lived in their house. After they left, we took over, Mike Chuck took over Bible Quizzing, and then he left, and then we took over Bible Quizzing. And we saw the program go from 40 kids, and now we have over 500 kids involved. We had children's homes or orphanages that were involved, and their teachers were coaching the kids. We had schools that were involved, which was very exciting. It's hard to do that here in America, but we were able to do that in Kenya. They're very hungry for God's word. We had one kid one time that hiked down to our house that lived 40 minutes away. He knocked on my door. It was pouring rain. He's like, I want to tell you my memory verse. You don't find kids hungry like that, but he was hungering for God's word, and it was really rewarding and special. We saw kids come to faith just by reading God's word. I had a coach named Lena Rotich who was reading through Matthew, and the girl goes, I don't understand this Jesus. Who is this Jesus, and why would he do this? And so then the kids started explaining to her, and then the coach, and then she prayed and received Christ. So we've had some beautiful fruits that have come from this program. Not only did, and what's beautiful now is that, a missionary kid who grew up with Bible quizzing, is now in charge of Bible quizzing. So I've passed the baton to her, and they have still over 500 involved in it this year, with over 40 to 50 coaches that are helping at Tenwick and then others spread out. And so his word is going forth, his discipleship is going forth, and it's beautiful to watch this with these children.
So with mixed emotions, as I mentioned at the first part of the talk, we have returned back to the States, and for a season. We felt like God has asked us to be here because all of our boys are here. They're in great transitions. One graduated from Wheaton last May and is now in Pensacola, entering flight school with the Navy, and the other two are in the Navy as well. And so just a lot of transitions for our family. And, to be real honest, when you, missions, the life of a missionary can be amazing, can be so many blessings, as we've tried to share how God has worked in and through that. But, it can also be, life draining, and it can, suck the life out of you if you're not careful. And, the past couple of years, we really, were trying to listen to God and had to, for our sake, for our family's sake, kind of look at our priorities and, say, we want to continue to have our relationship with the Lord as the top priority. As our walk with Him, we want to continue walking and growing with Him. And after that, our marriage, and then our family. And then after that, fourth or fifth would be, your ministry or your career. And it's difficult as a missionary to say that sometimes because we love what we do, but we really have felt God saying, for this season, we desire you to be closer to home, closer to your, sons, your boys, as they are launching into their mission. So, almost 20 years ago, we saw God launch us into this mission as a family. I remember walking the streets in Homewood. I was a resident. She was pregnant with our first child, and we committed our lives and committed this child and whatever children God would give us to Him. And it was a faith step. It was exciting, but we didn't, a lot of unknowns about that. In the same manner, our young sons are growing up to be young men, and we want to be available to help launch them and to help mentor them. They're all adults now, so they're not kids, right? So we're learning a lot about how to be parents of adults and how to love your adult children well and to be mentored for them. So we are making that transition. We're still, as I said, we miss the team and the work that we are a part of, but we're also so grateful to be here and to have the opportunities. Our oldest son just got engaged yesterday. And, that would have occurred with us thousands of miles away if we weren't here. So we're thankful for that. Personally, we're thankful for that. But we're also still yearning and desire to be heavily involved with missions as well. And so we just got back a week ago from South Sudan. We shared a little bit about that trip. And so now we're, for the next season of our life, we're going to be based here and make short trips wherever God leads us. So that's the story of our transition. I'll leave you with this one colorful picture. These bright outfits were given to us by our local church in Kenya the month before we left. And this is what they said. We're launching you back to America to share the light and restore vision with these new outfits. So, we were going to wear them today, but just didn't know how that'd go in the main service. So I want you to look closely at our boys' feet. None of them have shoes on. And I was like, what kind of the picture where they have shoes on? And we just couldn't find one. And I was just reminded, you can take the boys out of Africa, but you can't take Africa. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to share with you this morning. Thank you for being a part of Briarwood, which supports not only us, but hundreds of other missionaries and efforts across the world. We'll stop now. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer those. It's just been a blessing to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's a great question, Jenny said. Yeah, someone always asks about that, and you're right. One of the biggest things is a lack of access to medical care. You know, here in the States, if we didn't have the numbers of physicians that we have, probably be in the same environment. But other things are, it's right on the equator. And most of the population works outside. Most of the population don't wear sunglasses. So there's a lot of environments that go into their vision loss. But we see that and see it usually at an earlier age than not. But I would say just the lack of medical care, people not having the care that we would have.
And can't afford the care. Yeah.
Yes.
What about language, beyond language barriers?
It's a great question. So in Kenya, there's a national language and an official language. The national language is Swahili. The official language is English. And then there's 68 or so tribal languages. 70 tribal languages. So our goal was to speak proper English, maybe not Southern English, but proper English where you can understand us, to learn as much Swahili as we could. And I use that on a daily basis in the hospital with our patients. It's very interesting, though. All of the men could understand me, but a lot of the older women could not, because the older women were not allowed to go to school generations ago. Now, all the young kids, all the schools in Kenya are taught in English. So they may not respond in English, but they know English because their classes are taught in English.
And their national exams are in English. Mm-hmm. And in order to go to college, you have to know English as well. So they're really wanting to learn English.
Yeah. Then there's the tribal languages, which can learn some a few words and everything, but it's a challenge because if you travel 15 kilometers away, you'll be in a different tribal area. So there's a lot of those languages. But great question. Thank you.
Yeah, no, Swahili before you went.
No, we landed, and before I started full time in the hospital, we were had a language requirement, and so we took classes. And then I started work, and about a year later, we took another break, did some classes, and kind of ongoing learning.
You feel safe and secure anywhere?
Yeah, that's a great question. Kenya is a beautiful country, and for the most part, we did. Jenny mentioned there were a few times, usually around elections, where there was turmoil in the country, and we just had to be smart about where we traveled or did not travel. And we had rules. We just never traveled at night. And that was just a common rule because nothing good happens at night. Mm-hmm. Common here, right? Nothing good happens at night. So, had to be smart about that. We have had some missionary colleagues that had some very difficult times traveling, on the roads. The roads were probably the most dangerous part of what we did, was getting in a car and traveling on the road. We had a missionary couple that, struck and killed another person that was drunk and walked out into the road. And that was very difficult, having to walk with him through that. And that actually, another two missionary families have hit people on the road. One survived and one did not.
There's people everywhere walking constantly, and animals and everything. So you just always have to be very alert, but they'll just jump out in front of you.
But great question. Huh?
That slide didn't seem fair. Aren't ophthalmologists particularly good at Jenga?
We're pretty good with small things. Yes, sir. Yeah, thanks for asking. My background, I did all my medical training here, and I did a residency, and then I did a retina fellowship. So retina is the back part of the eye, and in Kenya, there's an increasing amount of diabetics, which can cause problems in the back of the eye. So a lot, probably the last 10 years that I was there, most of my personal surgeries were dealt with retina and other things like that. So cataracts is the most common surgery in the world. You look at all surgeries done, it's just they're very, very common. But cataracts, glaucoma, pediatrics, there were kids. So I kind of had a rule, professional rule that I tried to follow, and there were patients that came in often that had issues that I wasn't, maybe I didn't feel like I was the best one to take care of that. And I would always ask the question, is there someone else in this country that can do a better job than I feel like I can do with God's help to take care of this patient? If there is, say if they're in Nairobi, then the second question is, can this patient afford to go to Nairobi? Are they going, if I send them away, are they going to go home? Are they going to go to Nairobi and get that care? And if they weren't going to go to Nairobi, then I would say, yeah, I can do your surgery. And I saw God teach me a lot over the years in areas that I was initially uncomfortable with to do that. But those were the questions I would ask professionally.
What about the, it's like the calls. How is their structure as far as healthcare? Or is there the social type?
Yeah, it's a challenge.
It's a big challenge.
And Kenya is one of the leaders in East Africa countries. Okay.
Economically.
So it's one of the better countries. They, a couple of decades ago tried to establish a national health insurance called NHIF, National Health Insurance Fund. But, it's wrought with a lot of problems and been a blessing at times, but with a lot of problems. So the challenge that 10 weeks even undergoing now is, when patients have conditions, whether they need surgery or care, and you apply for approval, insurance approval, and they say, yes, we're going to reimburse this. So you take care of the patient, and then they never reimburse the hospital. So an increasing surmounting debt that not just Timic, but a lot of mission hospitals have because they're not being reimbursed by the government for the care that they're giving. So it's an ongoing challenge trying to balance that with what patient pays personally and then what donors pay. So it's an ongoing challenge to care for patients.
We had a good needy patient fund set up for a lot of our patients too. And so we would tap into the needy patient fund, but we always had like a social worker or a national staff evaluate. We had, I don't know if Ben mentioned, but we have over 1,000 national staff that work at our hospital. And we have a new cardiovascular center that was just built that is employing, I think, up to 400 more staff. So it's a huge institution. And so when the government pays, it really helps. When they don't, it's problematic because we can't get the medicines and supplies we need.
What did we do?
Good question. So we landed in June and got our two of our boys are in school in Annapolis. And we dropped them off there. And then our oldest son, Luke, went to, are you familiar with OCF, Officer Candidate School? So he joined the Navy that way, got him settled this summer. And then I started work in September with the practice that trained me about 20 years ago, the Retina Consultants of Alabama down at the Eye Foundation. They've always been very supportive. And when I've come home on furloughs, letting me work some in their practice. And so I started work with them. And so it's been, that's been a homecoming. Yeah, there's a lot that is quite different than what, you know, I did on a daily basis in Kenya, but it's been a great place to land and to continue serving patients. So I'm appreciative for that.
We've also been trying to connect with a lot of our supporters that have supported us over the years. And so taking this time to just say thank you and update them on what's been going on. It's been a real blessing.
Okay. Well, can I pray for any other questions? I'll pray for us. Thank you guys. Lord God, we love you and we thank you that Jesus, you are our firm foundation. And thank you that we can stand upon Jesus the rock and we can trust you through blessing and we can trust you through challenges. But thank you for this class. Thank you for their love for you, their love for each other, and their love for the world. We pray, Father, you'll continue to bless them as they live life together, as they care for one another's needs. And I pray that this upcoming mission trip to Spain, Lord, I ask that you'll be present with that team that's going. Just open their eyes to what you're doing there and that environment and show them how you can use their talents, their love for you. So we love you and pray that you'll continue to bless this week. It's just, in my opinion, the most exciting week at Briarwood every year. And so we ask, Father, that you will bless this week, the missionaries that are involved. And I pray, Father God, to bless the church body and call others to yourself to take that faith step, to trust you and to serve you in missions. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.